Hi, this is Brennan from Bedrock Games and the Bedrock Blog, and today I'm doing another Q&A. This is probably going to be a short one. This one was actually from my friend Adam. He suggested it, and I thought I would do a Q&A on it. He's been running an Ogregate campaign, and the question was, how can characters earn a living in the setting? This is something that definitely comes up, and one of the reasons why it's a good question to ask is because in the equipment section, there's a whole list of services with prices. And so on the one hand, this can be used by players to hire an armed escort, hire a physician, secure a meal. But it can also be flipped and used by the players as a starting point for figuring out how much they could earn for different services. So if they wanted to be bodyguards for a month, they could see that, you know, somebody who's considered in the game C rank 1, which obviously their character wouldn't know, but they'd have a sense of the meaning of this, I think, would, you know, be expected to earn 200 spades a day. And so I just had a player do this last week, where the character was trying to enter into the party and was offering his services as a bodyguard, and that's exactly what he did. He took this price list and used that as the starting point for negotiation. Doesn't mean that everybody gets paid that, but it means that that's sort of the basis of like what people would expect, you know. So it's a starting point, like I said. It also has, you know, and again, the page that this is on is 186. I would encourage people that haven't taken a close look to look at the equipment section, as I go to that quite frequently for things like trade goods and that sort of thing. But this is one that, again, I have found this very handy, and I think that GMs who want a sense of what it costs, but also what types of occupations players might find themselves in, can look at this. Another list that's pretty important is at the very beginning of the chapter, and that is a salary list. It's a sample salary list. It was based on appendices that I found in some history books. And it's basically how much money you can make for different different positions. So like an academy headmaster would make 100 strings of cash. And so the currencies, I'd probably redo some of these and just sort of reduce everything to either spades or gold tails and silver tails. So this list is done in strings of cash, but that's at least something that gives you kind of a starting point to sort of figure out. A laborer would make three strings of cash. A soldier would, they would make just simply 260 spades. These are monthly salaries and stipends. And a string is 1,000 copper coins looped together. That's, 1,000 spades is a string. What's kind of interesting about, and again, this isn't quite 100% connected to real world, because if you look at the academy headmaster makes 100 strings, so that's 100,000 spades, while a clerk makes 5,000 spades, and that's in a single month. It's not one-to-one for the real world, but I've generally found the more I've played that I've shifted to real world prices for things, simply because it's easier to do things in the moment that way, and ancient economies are very difficult to understand. Our economy is difficult to understand, but I find it very difficult to really crack what a copper coin means in, say, Song China. The longer I've played, the more I've shifted towards real world prices. So I would have probably changed. And again, these were just right out of appendices. This was how many strings of cash it said these different occupations made. But I would probably change it these days so that the academy headmaster has something that sounds more like a monthly salary that you might expect. 100,000 seems pretty high if we're using real world. But all the other ones, I think, don't seem so crazy, with maybe the exception of the other academy staff. But again, those are meant to be fairly wealthy individuals. So But yeah, I would say, you know, my first statement to people is to approach this with some flexibility, because again, I found over time, I had all this as a starting point and then I sort of drifted in my own direction. But even if you're just using chapter five, there's a lot of good resources in here that'll give you an idea of how much people make, what all the different weights and measures mean, and all that kind of stuff. You can go into it as deeply as you want, or you can just focus on spades and tails. Again, I tend to focus primarily on spades and tails in my game, and I tend to shift more towards what a real world salary would be and that sort of thing. But yeah, but I think, is, you know, that list and the list of services is really useful. And I also think the you know, the trade goods table is very useful as well. And you know, the everyday goods and all that can be very handy also. But in terms of answering the initial question, that's what I would go with. And I would just say, again, try to watch in Wuxia movies, when you watch them, try to get a sense. And again, they're not 100% like set in like historical reality. A lot of times they're set more in a genre reality or a cinematic reality. But that's what this is. This is a genre RPG. So if you know, when you watch movies like this, try to pay attention to what people do for a living. Just as an example, I was talking about Reign of Assassins the other day, and one of the characters in that is a courier. You know, that's you know, it gives you a very, you know, it's a very simple job, but I used to be a delivery person, so that's an easy position for me to sort of import into a game. You know, just paying attention to those kind of details when you're watching a movie can be handy. Also, and again, this goes beyond this question, but when you're watching films, paying attention to the ground level details that the characters would see and interact with is very handy. So, and again, we're not necessarily, again, a movie is not history, so you're not necessarily getting the same information you might get from a history book, but this is genre. And I find that, you know, the job of a movie is to sort of bring these kind of worlds to life. And so, again, we had a discussion about Legend of the Demon Cat the other night, and that they built a whole set that was like almost like a small city or something. I don't know how extensive this thing was, but it apparently took them 5 years to make. And if you watch that movie, you get a very good sense of what the interior of a house would look like for characters that were living them, what a brothel's interior would look like, what a palace interior would look like. And you see characters go from room to room, so you get a real sense of layout. You know, again, paying attention to those kind of details can be very useful to you as a GM. And so I would definitely encourage people, when they're trying to sort of deal with those kind of questions, those sort of ground level, what am I doing for a living? You know, what does my house look like? You know, that kind of stuff. That, you know, it's very useful to kind of key in on that stuff. And you can also find that in history books and things like that. But again, with history books, the trick is you're not always going to find the exact information you want. You're almost better doing things different with history. Like if you just suddenly need to know something very specific about how room layouts work, you might not get that information in a history book or in a book on architecture right away. You might get some of the information, but you're almost better starting with the book and then porting that information into your game world rather than seeking. You're going to have more of a one-to-one success rate if you start with a book and bring it in the world rather than start with the world and then look to the book for the information. Sometimes you have to do that, but I've just always found, like, just as an example, if you're making an adventure and you want for your adventure, like, oh man, I really want a pagoda, but I have no idea what the inside of a pagoda looks like. You're going to now have to look up books or maps of pagodas, and that might be hard. You might be able to do it, so I mean, it's always worth trying. But one thing that can be really handy is just go through, if you, you know, again, I don't know what books you have on your shelf, but like, I have a number of books, I have a number of websites I like to go to, and if I have a book on like city architecture or something like that, I can flip through the book, find something, maybe it's not a pagoda, but it's something close, it's something in that range, or it's another type of interesting building, then that can become my starting point instead of the pagoda. Or you can look to movies. So you could look to a film like, Lady Hermit, where I think they have a pagoda building in the final battle, and the characters are climbing up it. And that might give you some indication of that type of architecture. But yeah, so those kind of things. Also, I would recommend to people something that was very helpful to me, was getting books on Chinese dwelling architecture and Chinese architecture in general, and historical information on clothing and that type of stuff. That's, you're not going to be an expert, but if you have an idea of what a courthouse is, or a courtyard house is, if you have an idea of what the different types of buildings are, it can be useful. You'll also start recognizing them when you watch movies. So, you know, again, it's, and again, it's not, you know, you're probably not going to have the same level of understanding of somebody who lives there or somebody who deeply knows the history, but it will help you with the game setting. So I definitely recommend doing that. And yeah, so I will, this was again a short one, so I'll let you go and I will talk to you later.